listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
To the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. Happy holidays. No, wait.
Holidays are over,
that's
buddy.
Right. No. It's still snowing like crazy, though.
Well, Martin Luther King Day is next week.
The winter is unrelenting. It's become kind of just a joke around here. Mother Nature is giving us the high hard ones. It's snowed once again today. It snowed yesterday. I think it's probably done. Is it done for a while?
I don't honestly know. All I know is that it's not supposed to get above 20 all week.
God,
so
lady. Why do we live here?
I don't know.
Could be because we love the great food that Minneapolis and St. Paul has to offer us.
That could be it, yes.
I am Dave. With me, as always, is my... I got nothing this
you
week.
You suck.
He's the Riddler to my Joker. There we go.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's
one of the better ones. Evan is with me, as always.
Hello.
We are at Pizzeria Lola in beautiful South Minneapolis.
Is that where we are?
Yeah, we're in South Minneapolis.
I think we passed South Florida on the way here.
The Sherpa that guided us in Tangzing?
It took us a while.
Actually, it said that we're in South Minneapolis.
You've already used that joke. It's not nearly as clever this time.
Nobody listened to that first one, so we're good. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Are we just assuming that we have all new listeners each week?
Absolutely.
All right.
Welcome.
Welcome, stranger.
Welcome. But anyway, we're at Pizzeria Lola in beautiful South Minneapolis. It is a fairly new restaurant, opened up a couple months ago. It is a wood fire pizza place. Pizzeria.
Pizzeria.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Which is Italian for pizza place.
Yes. We are actually sitting right next to a beautiful bronze wood fire oven.
I think it's copper.
Copper, whatever. It's both bronze in color. Burnt sienna, whatever.
It's copper in color.
I like burnt sienna. Leave me alone.
You don't even know what burnt sienna looks like.
You don't? It looks like the Crayola color. Burnt sienna.
Wow, you're an idiot.
I know. Don't hate on me.
Uh-huh.
Drinks have come.
We have.
I'm enjoying a Tupelo, which is from New Belgium.
This is Tupelo, not Tupelo like Mississippi.
Or Tupelo Honey, or whatever.
I don't know what Tupelo Honey is.
Song by Donovan. No. Is Donovan? No. Wait, who sang Brown Eyed Girl?
Van Morrison.
Thank you.
Wow, Van Morrison for Donovan.
They're interchangeable.
They're both sort of Irish.
Yeah. White guys are kind of soulful.
Donovan's not soulful. He's more... He's soulful if James Taylor is soulful.
But I think James Taylor's music is a bit
God,
soulful.
You're white.
Well, I'm not saying like soul like James Brown's soul. I'm talking about like soul like it's moving.
Like Korea? Like, no, what?
No.
That like, makes about as much like, sense as what you were saying.
Like, it fills your soul to listen to it. Like, I'm in a better mood when I listen to James Taylor. Or Donovan. Or Van Morrison.
When was the last time you listened to Donovan?
I saw him on that...
Futurama episode?
No, not Futurama. I was going to go with that Best of the 60s Time Life infomercials. I nearly got shot. Did you see it?
They just wanted you to stop talking about Donovan.
It felt like that whizzed by my head.
It was not that far away from you.
Holy crap. But, so yeah, we're at Pizzeria Lola. You are enjoying... You went the non-alcoholic route?
I did, just because... I was kind of thinking, since we're doing a vaguely Italian-ish place, I was thinking about going the Prosecco.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Because I'm a big fan of the bubbles.
You are. You're very bubbly.
I just didn't feel like it, you know?
You didn't feel it?
Plus for $7 for a 6-ounce glass,
that's a bit steep.
So I went with the Virgil's, which is a fine root beer. It is made, where is this made? It's bottled in California, apparently.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Did you get it right?
Yes, yeah, bottled in California, but it is one of my favorite kind of craft root beers. You only find it in like co-ops and things like that, because it's like the super, not granola-y, but it's like, it's gluten-free.
Well, it's natural ingredients.
I'm pretty sure
it's organic in some way.
Yeah. They do a Bavarian, I think it's a Bavarian root beer.
Okay.
Which is a little bit smoother.
I didn't know there were certain classes
of
root beers.
There's Bavarians. They're
wily.
Yeah. But it's really good. It comes in. Comes in like a 16-ounce bottle with a cork.
Oh, nice.
Like, it's one of those
it's
where
classy.
It's the cork. Well, it's not a cork. It's like a
stopper.
Plastic. Yeah, kind of.
Kind of what comes on top of those Grosch bottles.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. So I'm a huge fan of those. But you can only find those in co-ops. I've never found one in a restaurant.
Yeah.
In fact, the only place I've ever seen it that has it is the Wedge Co-op in Uptown. I know you burst into flames when you walk into the place, but
I do.
Your suburban republicanism just causes your skin to erupt. But it's fantastic. Anytime I go down there, I always pick it up. There's two things at that Wedge Co-op.
Yeah.
That I always pick up, regardless of what I'm gonna have. One is the Virgil's.
Yeah.
And two is their, and this is a little tip for you people, the garlic lovers pasta.
Yeah.
At the
Wedge. Yeah, you've talked about it.
Where it's really.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was wrong.
Wow.
I was wrong. It was, yeah. No.
That is what we refer to. Okay, let me just catch people up here. No, I have a better term for it.
Okay.
There's a young woman that walked in.
Yeah.
And you referred to her as a butterface, which is a fine, you know, it's a perfectly capable term. There's nothing wrong with that.
I apologize.
You're a terrible person, but you know, regardless. The term I think, and I think I might have talked about this on the show before, but it's a term I'm trying to get some traction.
Yeah, you're trying to run with it.
Over there, it's like,
and
okay.
What I call it is the El Camino.
Okay.
In that the backside looks very different than the front side.
You're a terrible person.
And now that I've called
you're,
you out,
you're much worse than I am.
No, no.
The fact that you came up with your own term, I'm just repeating what I said.
That's just creativity. That's just creativity.
Is that what that was?
That's what that was.
Wow.
I almost lost it. You want good derisive. This is something I've learned in my 30 some years on this planet. You want the good derisive comments for people's appearance?
Yeah.
Talk to a gay guy. Because that's a creative folk.
I agree.
The first time I ever heard the phrase oil painting. That I heard that from a gay guy that I worked with. Are you familiar with that term?
I am.
The oil painting?
I am. That's a terrible term.
It is. It's a terrible term, but it's one I found myself applying more and more often.
I agree. We need that.
It's becoming more true as my eyesight is failing.
We need to find a good gay guy to be kind of like a
cultural liaison.
Cultural liaison. That's a perfect idea. We need to find, okay, close circuit.
The welfare guy needs to adopt a gay.
That's what you're saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Oh, wow.
Oh, that was fast.
Thank you.
Yeah, pizzas take like maybe 5 minutes.
Oh,
perfect.
Excellent.
Wow.
Excellent. All right.
Well, we're only nine.
Finish your story.
I
did.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
She really wanted to take your menu away.
She did. God damn it.
All right, so what did you get?
I went with something a little more traditional in the pizza realm. I went with what they call a Hawaii Pie-O. Yes. It is...
Does it come with a side of Scott Conn?
All good pizza should.
You were just impressed that I was able to cut...
If I was a woman, I would totally be into Scott Conn. Granted, if I was a woman, I would totally have been into James Conn 40 years ago. So... They just look like guys that should be lumberjacks.
It's all
that big barrel chest.
It's all the tweeters end zone dance.
You know, maybe we don't need a gay guy for our group. Maybe I think between the two of us, we need a con.
We need a con family member.
We do. That'd turn us both gay, I think. But the Hawaii Pio is a Berkshire bacon, which looks fantastic, as well as pineapple, mozzarella, and provolone. So it's an upscale Hawaiian pizza, which you poo-pooed.
This is, I think, it's a communist.
Why is this communist?
Ham and bacon, in its purest sense, are two of the best things on the planet.
Yes.
But they're perfect, and they don't need to be improved upon in any sort of way.
Okay.
And I think the only way to really knock them down is to put them on a pizza.
Why? You haven't explained yourself.
I think it takes away from the hammy bacon-y-ness of it. I think.
But you're okay with like sausage being on pizza?
Absolutely. Because pork comes in many flavors. Ham is ham. Bacon is bacon. Bacon has very few derivatives. What?
I think you're insane, but... Regardless, more bacon for me. What did you get?
I got the sunny side, but the big thing is that the center of this bad boy.
How's everything tasting?
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Thank you. The center of this bad boy is a soft poached egg, and it is delightful. It will probably turn my insides outside because of my inability to digest eggs, but I love eggs so much that I couldn't resist it. Plus, it's on a pizza. It's got, I need to look at the menu because I don't remember what else is on it.
There you go.
Thank you. We got guanciale and pecorino cheese. There's a little bit of cream on here. Leeks, which give this nice oniony balance to it. And then the soft egg on top. Oh my God. It's really, really good.
I'm a fan of adding eggs to things that where it normally does not belong.
Burgers.
I had a raw egg in a salad.
Yeah.
Which was good. Well, not a raw egg, but it was like a soft poached egg, kind of like how you got.
One of the places we haven't gone yet is a place called La Bar La Grasa. Bar La Grasa?
La Bar La Grasa.
Sorry about that. Bar La Grasa. And they're... they have a spaghetti carbonara that they basically make a nest of the spaghetti, and then the carbonara has a soft egg right in the center of it, and so you break up open that egg and then you mix it up in there. Oh God.
You're making me a little hard.
Oh God, I know. I'm already at half staff. We're good.
Now I'm amazed that You went with the egg for the simple reason that it is well established that you are what I lovingly refer to as a pizza fascist.
I agree.
You besmirch fruit on a pizza. You just got done besmirching ham on a pizza. You seem to be very traditionalist when it comes to pizza, and yet
I know
you got an egg.
I'm sorry.
Explain yourself.
I don't know if I can.
So you're just willing to admit you're a hypocrite?
I am. Completely. No, my big thing is that I want things that in my taste buds feel natural.
Okay.
And to me, what all the stuff on this seems natural to me in my mouth. That's what she said.
I was wondering at what point you were going
to
put that.
It's the pineapple that I think is really offsetting to me. I like pineapple. I have an allergy to it. But I do like pineapple. But I think pineapple, in its truest form, is really, really good. Ham, in its truest form, is really, really good. I don't want to see them on a pizza with any other flavors.
To me,
an egg is an enhancer.
Okay, let me see if I'm getting this right. Because it seems to be that your common argument against why such and such an ingredient should not be on a pizza is because it is somehow, it's against the true nature of that ingredient. Which to me, I interpret as you saying that pizza is kind of you use pizza to polish a turd, is basically what you're saying. You're using it to improve otherwise lackluster ingredients. And I think that
pizza to me is a vehicle. But the everything else is pretty basic. You don't put hot rod parts, you don't put a big ass spoiler on a Toyota Tercel.
I think you're selling pizza as a concept short.
I probably am.
And I don't know why.
It's what I do.
I mean, to me, I agree with you that pizza is a vehicle, but I also think that it's... You can do whatever you... It's not so much a vehicle, it's a canvas. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Anything works. It's all about how it's created. You know? I'm not going to say that bacon... Well, I will say that bacon's always good on a pizza. But, you know, pineapple or egg or something like that, it's not always going to be good, but if you do it right, it's fine. It's much like a sandwich. Anything can go in a sandwich. But, you know, it's all about the balance and the composition. There's nothing in there that just is flat out disqualified from being in a sandwich, with the possible exception of liquid. And that's just because bread is hard. It's hard to do liquid with bread.
Yeah.
I mean, there's physical issues with that. But beyond that, I don't think there's... I think there are no limits. Like, I'm a big fan of the California Pizza Kitchen. Which is, you know, admittedly a big chain and all that stuff, but
they
push
out quality.
Interesting things.
And they push out quality. It's not like we're saying we love Applebee's.
No.
You know?
Which is only good for its margaritas. any drink that has the word mega in it, I'm in for.
I don't know, occasionally I do like to dirty it up with some riblets.
One thing I haven't talked about yet is the crostini.
Yeah.
Which is it's an add-on for any pizza. It's just a buck. Which, given you get about 6 pieces for a buck, that's not bad. It's extremely good, but extremely garlicky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like almost bitter, like how garlicky it is. It's good. I love garlic. And I'll be stinking like this stuff for about 2 days.
It's okay. Heather makes you sleep on the couch anyway.
That's true. But, the shower tonight's going to smell delicious.
Gross.
Yeah, well. So, there's something I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
We were talking a little bit about last week about Burger King. We were also talking about language and food language in particular. Last week we were talking a lot about drinkifying snacks and things like that. Burger King, ever the trendsetter, you know, pioneer in fast food burgery. In select markets, they are putting forth what they're calling a stuffed burger, which is a patty that is quote unquote stuffed with cheese and jalapenos. I forget the name exactly.
Son of a bitch.
But I'm looking at a picture of this. because as a proud Minnesotan, when I hear stuffed burger, I think Juicy Lucy derivative.
Okay.
This is not what that is. This is merely they've mixed in cheese bits and jalapeno bits into the grind. So there's just bits of stuff in there, which to me is not a stuffed burger.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you'd call it. It's certainly enhanced. You know, at least as far as Burger King burgers can get. You know, but
okay, that's good.
I think I have a problem with them calling it stuff because it's not really stuff.
Right.
Am I being out of line on this one, or am I just taking Burger King way too seriously?
You're a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B right now. I think. I think they're trying to be too creative at this point. It's not really all that creative, considering we Minnesotans pioneered it.
Well, we didn't even pioneer this. They're not even doing the same thing.
Well, kind of.
We can't claim credit for inventing putting weird shit in the grind.
It's ground. I thought it was stuffed.
Well, they're calling it stuffed, but what it is just bits of cheese and jalapenos in the burger pan.
They can't call it stuffed.
That's what I'm saying.
It is incorrectly named. That's basically what I'm getting at.
That's my point. Which then leads me to my next question. Now, when I saw this article. Oh, hold up.
Can I get a side of the red sauce? Thank you.
When I saw this article on one of our favorite sites, Food Beast, they were talking about how this is the industry leader. Like, this is the first place to do a stuffed, in quotes, burger.
Oh, you're getting close.
And I can't even think that's correct, but. Because there's got to be, there has to have been fast food burgers that have done
something
goofy mixes before.
Or stuff that doesn't work.
But what got me thinking is it possible? Do you think it'd be possible for a fast food chain to properly do a Juicy Lucy?
No. I'm not speaking this in terms of being a Juicy Lucy purist or fascist or whatever you want to call it. I'm saying this in terms of you're not going to be able to replicate that style because it is a style of work, if you think about it, on a massive scale because all of those are hand padded. Doesn't matter where you go. Nook, 5'8", Blue Door, Matt, Buffalo Tap, they're all hand padded. You can tell they're hand padded. You can see the finger imprints. If you needed to read a fingerprint because the cook killed somebody, you could get it off the burger.
I'll have to check CSI with that.
And I think that there's a tenderness and a care that goes into it that also make the difference in the burger. And there's no way to replicate that. And I think that's what makes burgers like that completely unique.
I agree with you, and that was kind of where I was going with it.
Yeah.
But not only that, but there's a practical level to it, because you're not going to have the burger lords at your neighborhood fast food place. They're not going to be mixing stuff together.
No.
Okay. It's all about efficiency and having a hand patty stuff. And at the same time, you can't properly freeze a Juicy Lucy.
No.
Because it wouldn't work.
No.
I've tried it. I've tried it. It don't work. It's just something's wrong. And it comes down to that hand patty. But even if you hand pattied it and then froze it, I'd still think it wouldn't work.
No. I think it's a freshness of ingredients. I think I think that when it gets down to it, it makes all the difference in the world that you get to watch Guido take the American cheese out of the wrapper, fold it
well,
up
if
you're at Mass, fold it up in the squares, and then put it inside the burger, and then seal the burger shut. It makes all the difference in the world. He's seasoning it exactly how it's supposed to be seasoned. That just don't happen.
Unless you're at Mass.
Take it back. I will cut you.
Continue your spiel.
No, I'm not going to. No. No. What do you think about that? No. I will not. I've had enough of you and the besmirching of one of my favorite restaurants in the entire world. I've had enough. I've had enough to hear with it. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Well, keep shaking your head. I'm going to knife you.
How many times have you threatened to knife me today?
Twice.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. This seems like just wrong on so many levels, even though they are grinding it into the burger. You're not going to get the same thing because the beautiful thing about the stuffed burger is the magma hot cheese swirl.
And that was going to be my next point.
That is the quintessential part of it. Thank you.
That was going to be my next point was that, let's just say, one of the food wizards or food geniers or whatever they're called that work for the various fast food chains. Let's say they figured out a way to mass produce and freeze a proper Juicy Lucy burger. Let's just for funsies, let's think this, okay?
You're suspending science.
Exactly. The Juicy Lucy is an adult burger in that you have to approach it with a certain level of maturity and care. Because if you don't, you will hurt yourself or others.
You can't force it.
I'm talking in the eating.
Right.
If you eat it wrong, a Juicy Lucy is a culinary bomb. And if you try to defuse it, and you're not careful, and you clip the wrong wire, everyone's dead.
Exactly.
Can you imagine the lawsuits that would stem from a Burger King or a McDonald's doing a Juicy Lucy?
There's no way they could.
You'd have to have warnings imprinted on the bun.
Absolutely.
They'd have to somehow print it. They'd use some sort of food-based inkjet.
Well, it'd be like... it'd be like McDonald's coffee, where they have on the cup in at least 6 different places. Coffee is extremely hot. They'd have to put it all over the wrapper. Eat with care, you know. They'd have to spend just as much time.
You'd need a manual.
They'd spend just as much time preparing the packaging as they did developing the burger.
We should catch people up on the food here. So we both demolished our pizzas.
It was okay.
And these were not, I mean, when we were talking about this, you were comparing it to a place like Punch, you know, which is another place that is known locally for the small wood fire pizzas. Black Sheep, similar, although that's coal fired, obviously.
Pizzania.
There's a lot of these places. I don't think there's any real big chains of the wood fire pizzas, which is surprising.
Other than Punch.
Is that a national chain, though?
No, it's a regional.
Yeah. I'm talking, you know, national. But the smaller pizzas, these I think are bigger. I would say these are definitely bigger than Punch's, because these are a good 12-inch pizzas. And granted, they're thin crust, so you can eat a 12-inch and not be ginormous.
Right.
But we both destroyed ours.
I left no man behind.
Yeah. I left some crust behind, but luckily you were very smart and got the side of the red sauce.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. It's just the right amount I would put a little bit more spice into it, like
yeah,
a little bit of red pepper flake. But it's sweet, so it kind of finishes off the whole thing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
I enjoyed, we'll try it with the crostini here.
I enjoyed the hell out of my pizza. And that will come back to haunt me. I mean, seriously, there's no way I make it home. It's going to be explosive. It's going to hurt. It's going to be bad. But I think it's going to be worth it.
I will echo your sentiments. Not so much the
pooping.
I was going to call it a gastronomic distress, but you know, whatever. But no, mine was fantastic. The bacon was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The two cheeses with mine, it was the mozzarella and provolone, which. Now, I'll talk about that in a second, because I'm having a provolone emergency at home. But it was...
I was going to try to merge the words provolone and emergency.
Provologency?
That's the only thing.
It's a really awkward combination.
Provergency.
It just sounds like I need to diddle a child or something.
Exactly.
That's no good. Anyway... What was that? But the cheese mix was perfect. I don't think I remember having provolone on a pizza before.
I've had it before, like those steak pizzas, like
yeah, like the Philly cheesesteaks,
which are terrible.
I don't mind it.
See,
a pizza to me is like a salad. If there's no bad thing to put in it.
Which is ironic because they do have a pizza that has basically a salad on it.
It does, yeah. Where is it?
Iowa. Has arugula on it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with arugula on a burger, on a pizza. One thing I think is wrong, the Xerxes.
Yep.
Sauteed rapini, fine.
Yep.
French feta, awesome. Mozzarella. Kalamata olives, which I realize is normal for a pizza, but I just think olives are wrong. And almonds.
You lost me the almonds.
I've seen this weird trend.
Don't nut the pizza.
I've seen this weird trend because I was actually in a place we're going to go next week, Sega Susie's.
Oh, that's right.
I was there this past weekend, right. And they've got a pizza with pine nuts on it.
Okay. Well, we might need to broach this pine nut craze next week.
You just want to talk about pine mouth.
Well, I want to talk about that too. But I think it's getting a little out of hand. Is my take.
Okay.
Is that?
Let's talk about it now.
Well, I mean. Now I realized where we were last week. Okay. We're at a vegan restaurant.
A raw vegan
restaurant. The use of pine nuts in my meal was heavy.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where you're using it as a replacement.
Well, that's what they were using
it for.
Well,
but I mean...
it was.
But it was overpowering. It was like, holy crap.
That was all you tasted.
It was all you tasted. And I see this in a lot of places I go these days, where the pine nuts are just getting out of hand. I'm just saying...
Maybe they're cheap.
Well, here's the thing. I like pesto. I like pesto quite a bit.
Yeah.
Just roll her back a little bit.
Well, look, my point is, I wonder if it's cheap right now.
It's not. If you look at the grocery store, it's still expensive to buy pine nuts.
Is it? Yeah, I don't know what would cause that. Now, granted, I'm not a nut eater.
Well, apparently, from what I understand, is that it's not cheap to harvest.
Oh, okay.
Is that pine nuts are not cheap to harvest, and I think that's the reason why they're so expensive. I could be wrong. It would be the first time.
Well, maybe they've become kind of like, in that case, maybe they've become almost like truffles, where it's just it's the fanciness of that. We've got pine nuts,
right? But I think, it's been around for a while. I can remember having pesto when I was fairly young. Not like I want to say maybe 12 to 15 years ago.
Yeah,
I remember having it. My mom making like pesto and noodles as a side dish. And, you know, I remember it being in vogue back then, but now it just seems like a lot of places are really, really heavy on it. And you end up with people that are getting these things, like pine nuts, which I still think is kind of made up. But I could understand, and as much as I do like, wow, somebody's killing a child over there?
Or a child just needs killing.
Holy
crap. Don't know what.
Wow. But I can see the point. I mean, I can see where that would happen.
Yeah.
Because chefs are becoming so heavy-handed with that ingredient. There are other things you can add to stuff to make it tasty.
Yeah, exactly.
Adding pine nuts makes it exotic. But it can overpower and ruin said meal.
Speaking not only of overpowering, but of things of a Greek or Mediterranean persuasion. I made lasagna this weekend.
The weird segue, but whatever.
Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
And we've been doing the Weight Watchers recipes and things like that. There's some interesting things on there. I recommend it.
Okay.
But we were trying this thing called, it was just called a Mediterranean lasagna.
Okay.
Which, the one thing, the sauce that you used was a mushroom and olive sauce.
How you guys doing here?
Good.
Good.
I think I'm done.
I think we're good. Thank you.
Do we want some dessert this evening?
I'm good.
I'm good, thank you.
Actually, can I get another one? So anyway, so making this line. So it uses a mushroom and olive sauce, which we did not use.
Because
olives are nasty.
And I thought
olives taste like the devil's testicles.
I thought you didn't like mushrooms either.
I've turned a corner with mushrooms.
Have you?
I have.
You're growing up.
This is one of the many culture-fying effects that my fiance has done to me.
She turned your mushroom virginity.
Exactly. And I think part of it is, it goes back to what we've talked about in the show many times before. If you start with shitty,
yeah,
you assume shitty for the rest of your life. And I think the mushrooms I was having when I was young was only on like Domino's pizza and shit like that.
Yeah.
And so it turned me off from the concept of mushrooms. But now that I've had good mushrooms, I'm still not huge into them.
You're still not sold on the whole idea.
Because
you're not going to be grilling a portobello mushroom.
A lot of them taste like dirt to me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like to eat dirt.
Oh, right.
Call me crazy, but I don't like to
eat
dirt.
That's where you brush them off and you wash them.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, even like the good mushrooms taste kind of like dirt to me. But I'm getting there. I can have it in other things.
You're expanding your culinary palate.
Exactly. So we skip the olives, but here's the tricksy part of this of this recipe. So you're making the ricotta mix. You got the thank you. You got the ricotta and you got spinach, which I've also become a bigger fan of. Again, only in things. I can't eat it by itself.
Really?
Yeah.
It's salad.
Yeah, but it's dirt salad. Again, it all goes back to tasting like dirt.
What?
I don't like bitter greens.
It's not bitter.
Spinach is bitter.
Who isn't washing your greens for you?
Regardless. But that's another one I've kind of come around.
Nobody's
about.
Cleansing your greens.
I haven't had a good greens cleansing.
I know. No, you haven't.
No. But in it, you get the spinach, you get the different kinds of cheese and all that shit. But in this one, the little twist with it, you put a teaspoon of cinnamon and a quarter teaspoon of nutmeg.
Okay, the nutmeg I knew was coming.
Yeah.
Cinnamon you kind of blindsided me with.
I know.
But I can see where that would work because you're kind of making a moussaka.
Yes, it's very similar.
And I can see that happening because nutmeg's heavy. I mean, that's moussaka is heavy on the nutmeg.
Yeah. This is only a quarter of a teaspoon. Or no, excuse me, an eighth of a teaspoon.
Still, a little bit of that goes
in. Yeah. But you know what? And it was could be because I was using some good Penzies cinnamon.
Oh God.
It tasted like dessert.
I don't know about that.
You know what though? It worked.
Really?
I'll be goddamn, but it worked. It was one of those where you get that blast of cinnamon. That first bite, it's just like, wow, this is very cinnamony. But after a while, it totally works. And what's even better is it's better the next day.
Well, you get to age it.
Well,
Well, yeah, the cinnamon has kind of been
everything
kind
gets
of broken.
Meld.
Yeah, the cinnamon's kind of broken down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. I might use a little less cinnamon next time, just because.
No, thank you.
Just because it is just that big shock. It's making it easier for her.
You got downright right upset when she was greasing for your birthday.
Oh, did you? Oh, I'm sorry.
You gave her a look like, don't you dare. I will bash you sorry. About the face. How dare you, madam?
I will knock your ass out.
Exactly.
Take my root beer. But no, I say try it.
Okay.
Try it in something.
You'll have to send me the recipe.
I will. I'll try to find the recipe.
And
the other downside of this particular recipe is meatless, which to me is wrong. But we covered for that in the pasta sauce that we used.
Okay.
Because it was kind of a sausage and mushroomy pasta.
See, I'm starting to feel bad.
Why?
Because now I've got two meals meatless on this show.
You got three meals.
Three. Ecopolitan.
Ecopolitan. This, and then what was before that?
I don't know.
It was duck.
Something died for that.
Ducks and meat.
No, mine didn't have the egg.
It didn't have an egg, so something did suffer.
Yeah.
It's all about the, you know,
die screaming?
Well, it's more, is it a baby at conception?
Yeah.
Is it alive at conception?
Yeah.
Conception, Jesus.
That's not easy for you to say.
Apparently my root beer has been spiked.
Apparently.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the short verdict here, before we start wrapping up, I would totally come to this place if it was closer and easier to get to.
Absolutely. We got a little turnaround.
Well, this area is full of one-ways. It's mostly residential.
Minnehaha Creek cuts right through South Minneapolis. It literally cuts uptown and South Minneapolis in half.
Yeah.
And that's the separate.
Yep.
And what ends up happening is that you have all these things that basically, all these streets that basically run parallel to Minnehaha Creek. But it changes all over the place.
Yeah.
And we got turned around. We became low on gas. We had to walk backwards, uphill.
We had to eat. We were actually going to have a special guest on the show, but we had to eat him.
Yeah, we ate him. Tasted like chicken.
Yeah.
But we did make it here.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we did find
it. So am I.
And I will come back now that I actually know where it is. Considering when we started pulling up to it, I was like, oh, I totally know where this place is. Which just made me a little bit angry.
Yeah.
But it was very good. There are other things on the menu I will definitely try next time. Like we said, we had the house red sauce.
Yes.
As kind of a dipping sauce. I'm going to have a pizza on that actually has the house red on it next time.
Yep.
But I have to have something on it, like the My Sharoni.
That was my next bet.
Which is essentially a sausage and pepperoni with with mozzarella. It's a standard issue pizza.
Yeah.
But that sauce was damn good, and what it needed was some heat. I would hope that the sausage and the pepperoni would bring that and really make it a really well-balanced pizza.
Yeah, I could see that. And for you mushroom lovers out there, they have something called the Forager, which is a roasted seasonal mushroom, so it's different mushrooms each time, with truffle cheese and truffle salt.
That'd be almost too much.
I would agree. The one thing, also thing that intrigues me, because as a lot of places will do, you can add stuff.
Yep.
You know, and they've got your standards, your sausages, pepperoni, bacon, arugula, shit like that. It's the first time I've ever seen chili.
What type of chili
is it? It's called the Calabrian chili.
I think it's an
you
actual...
You think that's like a pepper?
Yeah, it's not going to be like a
you're
stewing.
You're not expecting red beans on
no,
my pizza?
No, it's not a bowl of Texas red.
It would totally work. I will also say they're doing a great thing that Pizza Luce also does with the baked potato pizza.
Where they slice the potato thin and...
No, it's just kind of crumbled.
Really?
Yeah, they call it the Boise. It's a potato Gruyere, caramelized onion, olive oil, and rosemary, which sounds fantastic.
Potato on a pizza just seems a little wrong.
Have you ever tried it?
I have.
Okay.
It's not pizza. It's something else. It's like... It's something else at that point.
Well,
it becomes a different entity.
I suppose.
So, do we want to talk about next week?
We should talk about next week.
Considering next week was supposed to be this week.
It's a groundbreaking episode. Because not only are we going to be celebrating the third annual Well-Fed Guide to Life.
Which we were supposed to do this week.
Golden Bacon / Well-Feddies awards show. But we're actually going to be revisiting an old favorite. We're going to be going home again.
For me, literally.
Almost. Literally. I'm kind of excited. I hope the weather's nasty. That way I don't have to drive that far.
Yeah.
But we're going to be going to Seiko Susie's, which has moved locations from farther away from your house to closer to your house.
Well, it wasn't that far to begin with.
No,
either.
But
it went from like 4 blocks to 2 blocks.
But stumbling to stumble.
Yeah.
You know, that's perfect.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. They've had a few additions to their menu.
They have.
They've expanded greatly.
That's true. I actually went there last week, as we talked about.
Without me, you bastard.
You were invited. But I'm saving my comments for next week.
Yeah, that was ominous tone.
Well,
don't ruin this for me.
You'll have to listen.
Don't take this away from me.
You'll have to listen.
Oh my God, no. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. The Red Rockets are still there.
About the pickle wraps.
I believe they are still there as well. I did not have any this time.
Okay, then I'm okay. I'm okay. Deviled eggs.
Devil eggs are still there.
Okay,
I don't think they got rid of anything.
Okay.
But anyway, so.
I got all nervous.
Regardless. So yeah, next week we pushed the Well-Fed Awards to next week because we didn't have time to do it. So I'll just be honest. But when this comes up, we'll have something there for the listener's choice. So go ahead and pick it. Email us at Well-Fed don't do that. Leave a comment and we'll make a separate post for the listener's choice awards. Leave a comment about what your choice is, or you can always, if you don't want to leave a comment, you can always email us at wellfed@fancymansgangsters.com, and you can also, sorry, and then we will we'll do it for the listener's choice awards next week.
Sounds perfect.
So I would say we already talked about this place. Huge fan.
Yeah.
And
we'll definitely be back.
Yes. But the
and on a Tuesday, it is packed.
It's hopping.
It is hopping. Every table is full on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday, which is impressive.
Yeah, and when it's hard to find, too.
Yes. So there you go. Pizzeria Lola, highly recommended.
Absolutely.
And a front runner for the 2011 awards. Anyway. As always, brought to you by Hop Chart. Hi. I'll explain my issues here when we're done. As always, brought to you by HopChart.com. Dave will make sure that he lists his beer on Hop Chart tonight.
I will.
You better. If you don't, I get to punch you in the throat. And we always welcome comments and recommendations and all that good stuff to wellfed@fancymansgangsters.com. We do have a Twitter at twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg or facebook.com/wellfedguide. Follow us, fan us, tell your friends, and all that good stuff. So, on behalf of my good friend Dave and my better friend Virgil's River.
Virgil,
whoever you may be.
The black man. He used to follow around the Million Dollar Man.
No. Wow. Nice 80s wrestling reference.
That's what I do.
Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.